one of the commercials that was on during the Super Bowl. Why did I even bring up such a painful memory? Yes, in honor of Tom Brady. That's right. That's right. Well, during the Super Bowl, there were lots of commercials for the Olympics, right? Because it was going to be start the following week. And one of those commercials had alpine skier Michaela Schifrin blasting her way down a mountainside, preparation for the giant slalom, for which she did win the gold. But in this ad, as she's shushing her way down, when she reaches the bottom, this adorable little girl comes up to her and asks her to sign her ski mask. Whereupon Michaela pulls out a Sharpie, she just happened to have a Sharpie, and she writes on the little girl's ski mask right across the front, ABFTTB. Always be faster than the boys. Well, in this morning's scripture, we have two women, sisters, who are always faster than the boys in the things that matter the most to God, namely, loving and trusting Jesus. So how did they do it? How were they faster than the boys? So men and women, take note. We're reading from John chapter 11. You recall last week, if you were here, that we read the first part of this story. John 11 is a long, extended story. And in the beginning, Mary and Martha have a brother, Lazarus, who's about to die. They send message to Jesus, please come, our brother's dying. Jesus gets the message, and he stays right where he is for 2 days. And then he finally shows up at the home of the grieving sisters. And that's where we pick up the story in verse 17, printed in your handouts. This is the word of the Lord. Upon his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany, which is where they live, was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews, who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her. supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Word of the Lord. Mary and Martha, and I just have to say this up front, I'm probably going to say Martha a number of times, or Martha or something, so just bear with me. I grew up saying Martha, of course, so I've had to train myself. It's not Martha. So Martha and Mary are faster than the boys when it comes to being honest to God. Both Martha and Mary, soon after, they both cry out to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Exactly the same words, at two separate occasions, coming from out of each one of them. Why? Because they have been talking about this so much. For the 4 days after burying their brother, this has become their obsession. They can't shake it. If only Jesus had been here. If only he had come when we sent for him. They are each expressing nothing less than crushing disappointment in Jesus. Even perhaps anger. Mary and Martha feel neglected, passed by, ignored by Jesus. They had hung their only hope for their brother's life on Jesus, and he failed them. They begged him to come, and he didn't. And now Lazarus is long since dead. And he's dead because Jesus wasn't there. Just a little aside here for a moment. The specificity of the words of the scriptures is such a wonderful thing. In the first century, it was the widespread Jewish belief that when a person died, the soul would linger around the body, hoping to re-enter for 3 days. But after the third day, when decomposition set in, the soul would leave. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. So he's not only mostly dead, he's all dead. Miracle Max, yes. But in their loss, they show us why they are faster than the boys. Because what they do is they take exactly what they are feeling and they bring it straight to him. They shove it right up in his face. What they've been thinking and processing and experiencing and talking about back and forth just comes surging out at them directly at Jesus. "If only you had been here." And what they put right in front of him is not pretty. It's not nicely packaged. It's raw. It's blunt, right between the eyes. And yet, there is not a hint of fear. Not the slightest anxiety on their part that Jesus might be put off or offended or angry or dismissive of their feminine hysteria over this messy and accusing outburst. Somehow, Mary and Martha intuitively know that Jesus can and he will absorb all this awful stuff they're feeling towards him. And that he will somehow handle them with tenderness and love and gentleness and affection and grace, just the way they are. So, application one, boys or girls, is there somewhere you need to be honest to God? An insurance company in England conducted and completed this study a few years ago. And their conclusion was that British men, corporatively, British men waste 6 million hours of driving time every year because they refuse to stop and ask for directions. I think most of us will recognize that this is one of the many areas where the average boy should become more like the average girl, who is often more than happy to ask for directions. And how many times have you been driving somewhere and your wife says, "Honey, can we just stop and ask?" Maybe it's just me. But somehow, as a rule, women seem more readily able to ask for assistance. They feel their need. It's closer to the surface, maybe. And she is not as pridefully unnerved by that need for help as most boys are. So Mary and Martha, our archetypal girls, are faster than the boys in terms of being needy for him. And speaking up about it, asking for directions. The Gospel of Luke has our other little insight, another little vignette into Mary and Martha. It's a different gospel. It's much earlier in Jesus' ministry. It's from Luke chapter 10. It's printed in your handouts, I think, isn't it? Yes, it is. Yay me. Okay. So this is a couple of years before the John story that we're looking at this morning. So Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha is the busy one. She's active, talkative. She's an energetic extrovert. She's always in motion, always restless, so therefore easily frazzled and irritable. Her sister Mary is an introvert. She's quiet, contemplative, sensitive, maybe a little melancholy. She wants to sit and listen to Jesus. And not just sit and listen to Jesus, but to sit and listen to Jesus while her sister is frantically trying to cook for everybody. Now, when we come to John's much later story of these same two sisters, we see each one of them being perfectly true to character. Right? When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, John tells us, she went out to meet him. She has to jump up, go and run to meet Jesus. She's not going to wait for him to get there and run up to him and demand an answer. Where were you? Why didn't you come? Mary, equally bereft in her loss, stays put. She needs to have Jesus call her personally, by name. Martha goes back and calls Mary aside. Says, "The teacher is here," she said, "and he is asking for you." And then Mary gets up quickly, John says, and went to him. So Martha, Mary, each feel and they each express their need for Jesus differently. And Jesus meets each one and responds to each one in precisely the way each one needs. He is in no way surprised to see Mary racing towards him as he comes near to the village. And Jesus talks with her. He has this whole theological conversation about the resurrection from the dead. He knows what Martha needs. She needs to talk. She needs to process. She needs to vent verbally. Talk it out. He's also not surprised that Mary is not with her. Mary, he asks for by name, knowing she's too weak, too wounded to move without that special word from him for her. So is there an area in your life, I shouldn't say is, of course there is, where in your life this morning do you need to be more vulnerable in your own neediness for him? Some years back, Cornell completed a study of almost 300 men and women comparing the relationship between eating and emotion. According to them, in their study, It appears that girls more often eat to comfort themselves when they're feeling lonely or sad. And they tend to turn to sweets of various kinds. We boys, on the other hand, we like to eat when we want to congratulate ourselves. And we are more inclined to indulge in a huge steak or a big bowl of pasta. Boys and girls have different kinds of emotional needs that generate different cravings for different foods. But, as Paul says, in Christ, there are no boys or girls. Our need, as men, women, males, females, boys, girls, our need for Christ is the same. Our feelings and our expression of our need may vary considerably. And so, Mary and Martha, if we're going to catch up and try to be fast as they are, we can take a cue from them. Sharing all of what they are, all of what they're experiencing, everything about their lives with him, all the time, whatever it feels like. See, Mary and Martha are not afraid to blast Jesus to his face because they know he loves them and that he can absorb it. He will take it. He will be gentle and merciful with them, no matter how ugly or vicious or accusing or angry their outburst is. And so to both, now that they're together outside the village with Jesus, to both Mary and Martha, Jesus says, "Where have you laid Lazarus?" And they both reply together, simultaneously, "Come and see, Lord." They are so different as sisters. But here, they are one, as are we boys. Come with us. Come to where we buried our brother. Be with us when we go to his grave. Don't leave. Stay with us here. To Jesus, it is totally, completely irrelevant where we're at, how messy or ugly or angry or out of connection with him our at is. Jesus always welcomes this invitation. He never refuses it. He never spurns it. Lord, come and see. Come into this that I am in. Come and see what makes me so anxious or so sad or scared or troubled or angry or happy or thankful, whatever it is, the invitation. I mean, he knows everything anyway, right? He knows everything we're thinking, everything we're feeling. But when we invite him into it, Lord, come and see. Behold your servant. See me. He will never spurn that. And when, as I can't go into it today because it's another sermon, But I think we all know what happens when they invite Jesus into their grief. He weeps with them, even though he knows what he's going to do. He embraces their loss, even though he's on his way to call their brother back from death. So incomprehensible is his love for us that even when he knows that all is well, he bears our sorrows. He bears our grief. He feels it himself. So as we come to the table this morning, the girls show us how to be faster than the boys. There are so many ways that we can invite Jesus in. So as we share in the body and the blood this morning, he invites us into his brokenness so that we would be free to let him into our brokenness. And it's this brokenness that makes our brokenness well and okay and healed and whole. So as we come to the table, bring wherever that is that the Spirit's been nudging you this morning to be more vulnerable or more honest or more inviting of his love into your life, into our lives. Share together in the table.